Hello, welcome. Episode, I want to say 11, but I'm not too sure. So we'll go with 11. Welcome back. On to the next chapter. And I'm going to limit the amount of talking at the beginning of this one, because it's a bit of a long chapter in terms of me reading it. What I will say before I start, though, is there are some calculations in here, okay, as we get towards the end. Now, I will read out the calculations, but me just speaking them may be difficult for you to write down correctly, and it'll make sense in a minute in terms of when I read them out, because of where brackets sit and all that sort of thing, because they're quite complicated. But what I will say now is any calorie calculator will give you a number, and that number will be very, very similar regardless of what calculator you use. But as I think I will say in this chapter anyway, these are just calculations. They're not going to be 100% accurate. The only way of getting it 100% accurate is to follow that number. So for the number of calories that you are given, and monitor and track it. Only then will you know how accurate that is and what you need to do to it. But I think I will explain that in the chapter anyway, if my memory serves me correctly. Anyway, I'm going to begin. So it's called Creating Your Own Nutritional Plan. Some of you may have skipped straight to this chapter, looking for the magic secret, the magic diet that I'm going to tell you that will give you the ultimate fat loss results. Well, it's not quite that simple. Well, it sort of is. What I'm going to do is give you the principles of a fat loss diet that will work if you stick to it. Sticking to it is the important part. According to research carried out by the Journal of Obesity, which looked into the best diet for overweight women, it also applies to males. It was just that the research was carried out on females. As everyone waited to hear the findings, was it keto, Atkins, low carb, low fat, lunar diet? Yes, this is real. Or a South Beach diet? The findings showed the diet didn't matter. It was the ability to stick to the diet that mattered. Regardless of assigned diet groups, 12-month weight change was greater in the most adherent compared to the least adherent. These results suggest that strategies to increase adherence may deserve more emphasis than the specific macronutrient composition of the weight loss diet itself in supporting successful weight loss. What does that actually mean? Being able to follow a nutrition plan, as long as it adheres to the right principles, is more important than the plan itself. In theory, it doesn't matter how you create your calorie deficit, as long as you can stick to it, which is the key indicator I've aimed to get across. Yes, you need the information. Yes, you need the understanding. But a huge point of this book is to develop your perception of yourself and your mindset to be able to stick to the plan you ultimately choose. Motivation and discipline are going to play a huge role. Anyway, now we have covered that, let's talk about the principles that a diet needs to meet in order to be successful in fat loss. Sustainable, enjoyable, achievable, accumulate a calorie deficit. Most are behavioural and lifestyle related. The only principle your diet must meet to result in weight loss is a calorie deficit. Please note, we have not accounted for body health here. We will touch on this, but maintaining body health is accumulated by consuming a good balance of micronutrients. Your diet, and we will call it yours from now on, because it will be unique to you. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different starting point, lifestyles, tastes, behaviours. The diet nutrition plan must have a calorie value that equates to less than you expend daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, in order to successfully lose weight and body fat. How do you achieve that? Firstly, you must calculate your total daily energy expenditure. Remember, this is just an estimate, generally a fairly accurate one if you use the calculation in this book, but an estimate all the same. You then need to put a nutrition plan in place that equates to less than your TDEE. So if you calculate your TDEE and then you follow a diet that you believe to be a calorie deficit and you do not lose body fat, there is an error somewhere. Either the estimate is too high or your calorie counting is too low. Whatever the reason, this can be identified and managed. Before we move on, I'm not saying you must track and account for calories for the rest of your life. Far from it. But having an understanding is essential. Otherwise, we are just playing guesswork. For some people, calorie tracking is a good method. For others, not so much. The meticulous approach just doesn't work for everyone. Some can't find a way to fit it into their daily schedule. There are other ways, though. But the gold standard is the tracking of calories, particularly in the beginning, and this will give you an understanding. From a personal point of view, I go through stages of tracking calories, especially if I'm trying to diet down for something or other. I tend to find it fun and enjoyable, finding out what foods I can fit in to meet the numbers. We'll come back to calories and macro breakdown in a bit, but if you're sitting there dreading the thought of calorie counting, there are other methods. I will now cover the different options. The whole food option. You can just go for a healthy eating routine, picking whole foods. I like to explain this one as if a food is what it is at the time of eating it. Generally, it is good in terms of nutrition. For example, eating a fresh fillet of salmon, the salmon hasn't been processed, altered or changed. The counter, eating a salmon fish cake, the dynamics of the salmon have changed. It's been processed, ingredients added to it, which generally means calories have been added. And the caloric value has gone up. Important things to note here. Clean eating, as it is known in the health and fitness industry, doesn't automatically result in a calorie deficit. Take, for example, nuts and avocados. As mentioned before, both are whole foods. However, both are high in calories and can easily be overconsumed and up your calorie count significantly for the day. If you follow this method of eating, you are not losing weight, you will need to add up the average amount of calories you are consuming and find out where the high calorie foods are and create a strategy to reduce them. As an example, 23 cashew nuts equals one portion, which equates to 180 calories. Quite a high amount for what appears to be a small volume of food. Intermittent fasting. This is just a method of creating time windows of when you eat and when you don't. In simple terms, everyone in the world does this anyway, unless you have developed a method of eating when you're asleep. A common feature of intermittent fasting is to fast for 16 hours and have an eating window of 8 hours. The benefits of this, although scientifically, as far as I'm aware, there are no magical benefits of the fasting period. Cognitive function-wise, you may get an increase in concentration levels due to a stable blood sugar level. However, the positive thinking behind the diet is that having a smaller window to consume calories results in you eating less calories than you would if you had a bigger window to eat. This is all well and good, assuming you don't go and binge eat on takeaways in your window. The window rules in place also have the potential to restrict distractions and triggers of food choices if you can stick to your window. I like to think of this as having your own set of personal philosophies that you follow when it comes to food. The ketogenic diet, or keto. This is a high fat, 55 to 60%, moderate protein, 30 to 35%, and low carb, 5 to 10%. The science behind the currently hugely popular ketogenic diet is forever evolving at a fast rate. It's knowing that significantly reducing carbs forces the body into ketogenesis, which is the body's method of using ketones and using fat for fuel when carbs are non-existent. Successful, of course. Sustainable, you tell me. We will cover this more in the chapter Slow and Steady Wins the Race. But if you like carbs, this diet isn't going to be your friend. I'm just going to cut in really quickly here. There's another bit here. This is sort of the high fat diet, and it has been shown in papers that actually when people are eating low carb diets, they actually burn more fat. But the balance to that is they are also storing more fat at the same time within that diet. So actually, burning fat doesn't necessarily equate to fat loss, because what you need to do is have the balance correctly. So yes, this burns more fat, but you are also storing more fat at the same time. So just be aware of that. That's more of a recently type thing that's come about. Right, I'm going to carry on. Flexible diet, or if it fits your macros. Okay, so back we come now to my favorite method of ensuring you can A, sustain a particular nutrition plan, and B, it is one most likely to be the most accurate in terms of achieving the principles of fat loss. As much as the name is referred to as flexible dieting, it is and it isn't. It doesn't restrict any food, but it puts parameters around your nutrition, which is absolutely essential for success. It allows you to put your own fence around yourself to protect yourself from breaking your own implemented rules. We all follow rules daily, so putting some boundaries in place regarding your food should not become too much of an issue. Imagine a world with no traffic lights or signals or roundabout rules, etc. It would be mayhem. The same could be said for nutrition. Without rules in place, the barriers, the whole thing doesn't work. Sounds simple, right? But it is something we need to set out initially. The long acronym IIFYM stands for If It Fits Your Macros. This is simply calculating the calories and then having a split of the macronutrients, proteins, fats and carbs, and hitting your targets daily. Outlined below is the method of working out your macronutrient breakdown. This can be very subjective depending on if you follow a pre-prescribed diet. The breakdown of macros will be very different depending on its methods. You will also find as you gain experience and knowledge with food and nutrition that you will naturally feel better with certain types of food and ratios of macronutrients. However, if you plan on following a plan that gives you a good balance of all three of the macronutrients, proteins, fats and carbs, which comes recommended from various scientific research, as all three have been shown to be highly important for the body. This is covered in other sections. Then using the formulas and calculations below is a good place to start. Before you can begin calculating your macronutrient breakdown, you need to first calculate your calorie expenditure, your TDEE. Okay, so this is where it's going to get complicated. This is known as the Imperial BMR formula. Okay, and this is going to calculate your TDEE. Okay, so for females, your BMR, okay, so your basal metabolic rate equals 655 plus 9.6 times your body weight in kilos plus 1.8 times your height in centimeters minus 4.7 times your age. I told you it was complicated. Males, your BMR is 66 plus 13.7 times body weight in kilos, plus 5 times your height in centimetres, minus 6.8 times your age. Like I say, they are complicated. Okay, any BMR calculation will give you a value that you can use. Okay, so obviously to note, there's separate formulas for male and females. Okay, what you can then do is apply the Harris-Benedict formula. Okay, which is now going to equate for our activity, exercise, on top of what our basal metabolic rate is. Because if you remember, basal metabolic rate was just the rate at which you burn calories if you were to do absolutely nothing in a day. Obviously, people do something, so we've got to make an adjustment to that. So, the Harris-Benedict formula. If you are sedentary, you need to times your BMR score from that calculation above, times that by 1.2. If you are lightly active, times that by 1.375. If you are moderately active, you times your BMR by 1.55. If you are very active, you times your BMR by 1.725. If you are extra active, you times your BMR by 1.9. So just a little bit further on the text here. Use the first table above to calculate your calorie expenditure based on your body's physical attributes, and then you use the second table, the Harris-Benedict formula, to multiply your answer from table one by the daily activity you estimate that you do. It's important to be honest here. You now have a number for the amount of calories predicted that your body will expend in one entire day. Just to clear it up, this is a 24-hour period, including sleep. For the next step, we need to make an adjustment to result in fat loss. For this, a recommendation between 300 to 500 deficit is required, 500 calories being at the aggressive end of the scale. Starting with 300 calories could potentially be better in terms of reducing hunger and being able to stick to the numbers initially. You need to take your answer from table 2 and minus 300 from that. This will give you your calorie target for the day. Obviously, if you don't want to lose weight and you want to stay as you are, you can use this number. If you want to increase weight, you just do the opposite. So you could add 300 or 500 calories. Right, calculating your macros. For this example of calculating macros, we will work off 2000 daily calorie target. The first place to start when working out macros is your protein allowance, particularly if you're exercising. Protein. Take your body weight in kilograms and double it. This will give you a good estimate of the grams of protein per day. Note, this is grams of protein, not the weight of a protein-based source. Okay, so that's grams of protein, not the weight of the entire chicken breast. Example, a 150-gram chicken breast will likely give around 25 grams of protein. Let's say our individual is 70 kilos. The grams of protein per day will be 140 grams. This is, in honest truth, relatively low. The research shows us that somewhere between 1.8 and 2.8 of protein per kilogram of body weight is recommended. We are starting at the lower ends of this because, from my experience, the general population do not consume nearly enough protein. So we are taking little steps initially to increase this. Some well-researched studies have shown that as much as 4.4 grams per kilo of body weight has yielded huge fat loss results. This, in my opinion, is a little extreme and would be very hard to practically achieve. Now we have our grams of protein per day, so 140 grams from the example above. We need to multiply this by 4. This is because there are 4 calories in 1 gram of protein. So 140 times 4 equals 560. So of our 2,000 calories, 560 of those are coming from protein. Okay, so that leaves us 1,440 calories. This leaves us the 1,440 calories left to divide amongst fats and carbohydrates. In terms of macro balance between fats and carbs in a diet, we can discuss this together. They can act as a sliding scale. As one goes up, the other goes down. The ratio and balance you use is uniquely independent and comes down to personal preference, adherence levels, satiety, and generally how you feel. This doesn't mean you can consume large amounts of both, as this will take you over your calorie count, but the balance between the two is down to you. Some people see better results in different balances. The only way to find out yours is trial and error. For this example, we'll calculate fats first. The recommended fat for the UK population is around 30% of total calories. To calculate 30% of our overall calorie intake, we use the following calculation. So the 2,000 calories times it by 0.3 equals 600 calories. We need to take these 600 calories and divide it by 9 to give the grams of fat per day. This is because there are 9 calories per gram of fat, unlike the protein, which only had 4. So the 600 divided by the 9 equals 66.6 grams of fat per day. We now have carbohydrates remaining. Now I need to work out how many calories we have left after removing protein and fats. So 2,000 minus the 560 from the protein left is 1,440. 1,440 minus the 600 for fats equals 840 calories remaining for carbohydrates. We need to divide that number by 4 to give our carbohydrate grams per day, because like protein, there are 4 grams of carbs. 4 calories in 1 gram of protein, 1 gram of carbs. You can tell I've read too many numbers here on this chapter, can't you? So the 840 divided by 4 equals 210 grams of carbs per day. We now have our macronutrient breakdown. Okay, and in the book, this is a table. So we've got protein, 140 grams per day equals 560 calories. Fats, 66.6 grams equals 599.4 calories. And carbohydrates, 210 grams equals 840 calories. Please remember these numbers were not for everyone. Your calorie intake will be different at the start. You might also opt to choose a higher protein amount. This is recommended for fat loss and those individuals exercising. Your sliding scale of fats to carbs may also differ. So all I'm just saying is those, don't just take the numbers from those tables, because your calculations are going to be different. Okay, but the dividing by the 4 and the 9 and all the rest of it should stay the same. One aspect I'll mention here is to ensure you do not remove fats completely. This is seen in the micronutrients section, that fats play an essential role in keeping the body healthy. So removing them completely will actually affect the percentage of nutrients your body is able to absorb from the food you eat. If you're choosing to lower fat right down in favour of carbohydrates, ensure you're getting your fats from good quality sources, not fats from milk, chocolate, etc. Right, that is the end of that chapter. I told you it was a long one. What I will say here All right, so obviously I would encourage you to try and use the formulas that I have used because I found them to be the best. However, if you have completely lost track of everything round through that, feel free to send me a message, all right, because I can calculate it in a matter of minutes. I've got a spreadsheet that does it. But failing that, if you don't want to message me, any calculator on the internet will work. It will give you a number. It will give you a calorie count. And like I said, these are just calculations, okay? Every person's body will be different. And the only way you can ever accurately work out the calories that you need for either weight loss, weight gain, or to stay the same is to pick a number and then accurately monitor and track it over the series of a couple of weeks. If you increase weight, you know you need to bring your calories down a bit more. If you're losing weight too quickly, you know you might need to shuffle your calories up a little bit more. And that honestly is the only way you can do it, is starting with a number and then just trialing it. Right, I'll leave it there because I've talked for well over 20 minutes now. Hopefully you enjoyed that one and it was actually quite useful. Once again, thank you for listening. I'm not sure how many chapters we've got left of the book, but then we'll get back into regular podcasting chat. See you on the next one.